Welcome back, everybody. We always like to have you guys check us out on The Valley Outdoors. Don, I forgot it. It was The Valley Outdoors. And Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yep, both of them. And we're going to be posting some pictures from the Fish With Us.
Yeah, we already did some.
Yep. And I've got some I got to shoot out. I think I sent you some of those pike pictures, didn't I?
No.
I thought I did.
Well, you're supposed to.
I thought I did. No?
No, you didn't.
Oh, well. I've got them. I'll do it. We'll spread it out. It's good. It's good. Joining us, speaking of spreading the love, and a guy that knows all about pretty much everything out there, and in detail about each and every piece and part of it, Rob Driesline from The Outdoor News. What's going on, Rob? Long time no chat?
Yeah, it has been a while. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah,
We're going to be a couple old timers.
Thanks a lot for that.
I am too. I own it.
Well, and it's always so, when you talk before we went on the air, it's always so funny, you know, you look at some of these pieces and parts that they pull up on Outdoor News, and I look at it and I went, you got to be kidding me. And of course, then you and I chat, it's like, yeah, some of these ridiculous things, we got to make sure people understand what these are so they can definitely say, uh-uh, not happening. What are you thinking? I don't understand how these things can even come into halfway play oftentimes, and that's what we're here, help bring light to the things that shouldn't have any light on them, really.
Or that need light.
Exactly.
Yeah, or that need light on them, exactly right. So legislation, we talked a little bit about off air, fill the listeners in, what's going on right now?
Well, so you may have heard there's an election here in about 5 weeks, and so we've got what the parties always do is they put together a platform and they say, this is what we're all about. And like I said in my column this week, it's kind of a wish list. If we had total power, this is what we would implement. And so some things always get into party platforms that are a little ridiculous. And you know, I didn't even look at the majority of these platforms. I just focused in on the environment and conservation things. So I want to be careful. None of this is legislation yet. But the fact that that the parties put some of these things in their platform, to your point earlier, it needs to be illuminated. We need to tell people, hey, be aware that this is in the GOP's platform or the DFL's platform. So if one of these politicians comes and knocks on your door, you can say, hey, I'm aware.
Exactly right.
Platform. This is a lousy idea. And specifically, the thing that really, really got my dander up is in the GOP platform, there is a bullet point under the environment portion that says we would support repealing the Clean Water, Land, and Legacy Amendment of 2008, which, you know, passed with about 56% of the vote. Probably would have been even higher if the non-votes didn't count against you. A lot of Republicans supported it. You were around then. I'm sure.
Yep.
You worked on behalf of it. It's just, this thing's done so much good work, and it's just ridiculous that would be part of a party platform.
Yeah. How so? Give us a gist of the gist of what it really means. Where does this go? What is it spent on? That kind of thing, so people get an idea on what this is.
So the Clean Water, Land, and Legacy Amendment passed in 2008. It dedicated a portion of the state sales tax. I used to be able to tell you exactly how much. It's a fraction of a penny,
right,
basically. But it adds up, you know. State sales tax generates a lot of money. So, I mean, it's tens of millions of dollars a year that this generates that goes into, there's a council filled with conservation-minded people that decide where it goes. And it gets put into all sort of conservation work around the state, some acquisition, some a lot of easement work, a lot of, cleaning or improving trout streams.
Wetlands.
You know, putting planting prairie habitat for pheasants, all sorts of, you know, really, really good work that's improving our environment in this state. And it's been a resounding success.
Yep. You know, and when you look at that, the biggest issue I think we have, and we've talked about it a lot, Don, and I think, Rob, we have as well, the biggest issue we have right now is the amount and the quality of the land that is out there dedicated to a hunting area or something similar. Those are some of the biggest issues we have, that the habitat is just has not been good, and trying to make it better, help get it better, it's been pretty dramatic. I mean, you look at South Dakota, you know, some of the impacts that they've had, and they've been fighting, is, you know, mowing ditches. You know, the
right,
ditch easements are the largest you could ever see. If you've never been out to North Dakota or South Dakota, the ditch easements are, you know, from fence to road. And, you know, you've got farmers that are cutting them, and that's a major area for birds. So, yeah, having something like that available is, you know, that's one thing. And, of course, then misappropriation of funds is what I would call it. Other people would call it, well, we're appropriating more if they should be going, you know, pulling funding out of something like that to go into a green area somewhere doesn't exactly fit, you know, in the middle of a city or something like that. So, you know, those issues are also at the forefront in my mind when these things come up. And so, yeah, it's we definitely need to be holding that and keeping that as it is from 2008, even though there may be obviously adjustments. But having that out there is definitely a good thing. I really do.
Yeah. And to, you know, a point I made in my column is I don't even know why you put this in. I mean, politically, it just seems stupid. Even if privately in your own home you sit and you grind your teeth and you hate hunters and you hate public lands, why would you put something like this in your platform? Because it's politically, it seems like it would be almost impossible for it to happen. I mean, Republicans would have to take back the legislature, which is possible, but then they'd have to pass, you know, putting this back on the ballot. And I can't imagine, you know, that would get through the legislature. You know, the hunting public would rise up and oppose that.
Exactly.
And then even if they did, I can't imagine a majority of the public would vote to repeal it. So it's just, why are you spending political capital on this?
I love it, Rob. You get fired up on this stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I know. And you know, the best part about it is being passionate about the outdoors is what we all need to be. And being passionate and having that strong feel for what is or what is right and what is not right is what's got to fuel this, because too many people are indifferent in when it comes to the outdoors. Too many people are indifferent when it comes to habitat. Too many people are indifferent when it comes to regulations and pieces and parts. And it gets absolutely ridiculous. It gets old, tired, and people want to have something changed, and then they don't do anything. They sit there with their hands and, you know, and they just say, well, that's just what's going to happen. No, that's not what's going to happen. If you want to do this and you're passionate about what your sport is, whether it's hunting, fishing, skiing, whatever it is, if there's something that's affecting that sport and you don't like it, then doggone it, that's why we're here. This is like you said, the election's coming up. This is where your voice needs to be heard. Whether it's an election year or not, you need to have that passion for the sport that you're in and make sure people understand that you don't believe in what they're doing is correct. So there you go.
Yeah,
sorry.
Absolutely. You need to think about this stuff when you go into the ballot box.
Rob got me fired up.
This November, yeah.
Big story out of Winona, which is a town south of us, Don.
Yep.
If you're a big buck hunter, and I don't mean the game in the bar when you have a couple beers, not that game. I'm talking the big stuff that's actually wandering around in the woods, and it's got a rack on it. And big news. What's the story, Rob?
Yeah, it's out of Winona County. I can't drill
area.
Into it any deeper than that. You know, these guys, where they get the big bucks, they don't always like to be too specific. But, yeah, this guy's name is Chad Garteski. He took it on September 18th, which was day two of the 2022 archery deer hunting season. Massive, massive buck. Still had some velvet, you know, dangling from the antlers on this thing. Scored 184, which I'm pretty confident that's a Boone and Crockett buck.
Yeah.
And he got it, you know, with bow and arrow.
Nice.
So, for sure a booner and just a, you know, a beautiful deer. And, you know, the guy's hardcore. You know, he'd been watching it on trail cameras and, you know, had an opportunity last year and it didn't come through. And by golly, he got it early season this year. So I'm just really excited when a devoted bow hunter like this takes a nice buck like that.
Well, and a lot of time goes into it, time and effort, and the stories, usually the stories behind it, Rob, you guys do a great job of capturing the stories that go behind or along with that type of a harvest, and they're oftentimes almost as interesting as the deer itself. You know, you've got a lot of these guys that either spent years watching them, which I can't figure out. I mean, you've got to have an area that's protected, because a lot of these guys, they say, I've been looking at this deer for 3 years or 4 years last year. Remember?
Yeah, Charlie Cardell.
Yeah. It blows me away that they, I mean, literally, it'd be like fishing in a pond and hoping nobody catches that 8-pound Wally the Big Bass that you've been targeting and hoping nobody goes in there and you know.
Yeah, well, you know what's unique about this story, Rob, is the gentleman has been tracking this deer for, he had been tracking it for 3 years, and then every year he went out and found it sheds.
Yeah.
And after the third year, he actually got the buck. So he's got 2 years of sheds and the buck.
That's
We've got pictures of the shed in the story. Yeah.
Oh, do you?
That's pretty awesome. Cool. That's fantastic, Rob. You know, there's in my mind, since we're talking habitat, I know that it looks like the Minnesota, the habitat's coming back. The birds, we've got some good reports from the birds in the state of Minnesota. They're coming back from what I'm hearing in one of the things you wrote on it. Are you seeing that in a big way? Anything to attribute it to?
So you're talking pheasants here?
Yeah, pheasants, yeah.
Yeah, and that brings the conversation full circle. I mean, I'm convinced that a lot of the habitat work that's being done with that Clean Water Land and Legacy Amendment, as well as, you know, our walk-in area program, is you know, helping a lot with pheasants. You know, we lost a ton of CRP acreage.
Yep.
And I really feel like we filled in that gap with some of these projects that we're talking about. That, and let's be clear, we had a pretty good winter. That winter goes a long way to help boost to pheasant numbers. So it's not going to be as good as it was 15, 20 years ago, but it looks like we're going to have a real nice year. Yeah, and South Dakota too.
We got to start somewhere though, right?
I mean,
you got to start the recovery somewhere.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Let's just hope that the drought that we have right now is not going to continue too far into the fall and all the way into the winter. We need some moisture now and make sure those birds are safe. So, well, tell you what, Rob, I can't thank you enough for joining us. I mean, really having you on is always a treat, and your passion is definitely heard and agreed with 100%. So, as always, thank you much. Appreciate it, buddy. Rob Dreeslein,
my pleasure.
You bet. Rob Dreeslein, Outdoor News. Check it out. If you don't have a subscription, get one now. They are definitely, it's definitely something worth having. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with some really cool stuff, I guarantee it. See you shortly. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies? Always fun to have Rob on.
Yes, he's very knowledgeable and very informative.
Very much so. Well, he's on top of all that. Yep. I mean, he's at the forefront of the stories and stays on top of it.
Right.
No question about it. Speaking of staying on top of it, they're, as it were, in the outdoor media world, if you didn't address this next topic, it's like that 400-pound elephant in the room. Unless you're under a rock, we brought it up at the top of the show, unless you're under a rock for this last week, you would have known that there was an incident that happened in a tournament out on Lake Erie. And happened to be a couple gentlemen decided that they didn't have enough weight in their fish. They didn't look healthy enough, so they fed those fish some lead sinkers to attempt to gain advantage on the competition. Sick, horrible, disgusting, and atrocious. I can't even tell you the words that came out of my mouth when I saw it, but we're not going to get into it too far. Suffice to say, Next week, we will have, as a friend of mine, he will have the tournament director. He has agreed to come on and answer any questions that we may have. And what I want to do is make sure I throw it out to you guys. Send us an email at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Or
just go on our website,
yeah.
thevalleyoutdoors.com. Go down.
Click on it and say email us. Yeah. If you have a question that you would like to ask the tournament director, put it down there, and we will ask him on the air. So make sure you check it out at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Drop down to you get to the point where it says contact us, I think is what it is, and send us a question.
We'll select a couple of the questions. We won't have time to ask all of them.
No.
Because I'm sure there could be many.
There's stories.
And we may have one or two ourselves.
And we may go long in the story because it's a lot of background that goes along with it. But please... definitely give us some questions if you have anything about it. We're one of the few stations in the country that's actually going to have the ability to chat with him. I know we did a call with Ross Robertson. We're going to be wide open on this deal, and it should be kind of fun. So I shouldn't say fun. It will be informative, and it'll be good to see from his aspect because he did a great job. So I hats out to him. So story coming out recently, Don.
Yeah.
You thought it went off the air, thought it was kind of crazy. Gentleman rows a boat from New York City to Ireland. A retired rugby player rowed for nearly 100 days completely alone. Those are the only guys who'd be smart enough to do it or something. He is from Galway, Ireland, became the first person to row from New York to Ireland after his boat made treacherous arrival on the coast of Galway. If you've ever been over there, Don, you'll know why it's treacherous. The early morning hours of Tuesday, October 4th, and he left on June 14th, and kind of a scary deal, but nonetheless, he made it, and he had 13 days. He had an medical emergency, but was taken care of, and he got her taken care of from that point on and did the rest of the way.
You know, that's absolutely amazing that you could row that. How many miles is that, did they say?
No, they didn't say how many miles, but lots. How about lots?
100 days?
100 days.
Wow.
You
take a lot of food with you.
I think there's going to be more on the story that meets the eye, but the last one he said, I want to thank everyone who's come out to meet me and thank those who supported me. So, pretty cool deal.
Who in the world would come out to meet him out in the ocean?
On the shores of Galway Bay.
Oh, okay.
I think they might have had a pint or two, Don.
Yeah.
Because Guinness in Ireland is a little different than Guinness in England or here. So, all right. For the Valley Outdoors, my name is Eric. Don and Ava, who's not here, we're out of here. Have a great one. Bye-bye.